Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this time together that we have. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to use this platform as a fellowship group, Lord, that's bringing us all into one accord. We just praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in each one of us, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I'm going to mute everybody. And Lord, I just ask that tonight you be with us all, every one of us, Lord, that you bring to our mind the things that we need to share, Lord, to glorify you. And I just praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've instilled in each one of us to walk this true discipleship walk that you've got us on. And I thank you, Lord, that we're also, you're opening up the word to us in a new way, and that revelations are coming forth. We know, Lord, that that word is so deep, Lord. There's just layer upon layer upon layer of revelations in there, Lord, that you've shown us. And it's just awesome, Father, the way that you've done your word, the way that it's just alive with spiritual food for each one of us, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special. We're coming at the end of the year, Lord, and it looks like there's a lot of things that are happening. We ask, Lord, that you send your warrior angels to be round and about us, Lord, to protect us and bring us through these trials that are coming about us, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's start out by asking if there's anybody that has any prayer needs. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And I command these symptoms of head colds in all of our people to go right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave this whatever it is, chemtrail crud or whatever. It's from the enemy, and we don't have to accept it. We do not accept it. Matter of fact, we command it to go from this body in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for your healing power upon every one of us. And we believe, Lord, that it's gone in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I got a little poem here I want to read. I'm just that kind of guy. I like poems. I know y'all may not think it, but I do. The love of Christ, which surpasseth knowledge. This is by Charles J. Rowles. He wrote a number of books, and most of them was about the name of Jesus. They're good books. Time may crumble earth's loftiest towers, and wither the limbs of the cedar's bowers. The weather may rush the world's noblest bridge and scatter to dust each mountainous ridge. But the splendors of love can never die. Her beauty and glory outlast the sky. Heroes may gain a remarkable crown. Cities may rise to gigantic renown, yet ruin and war consume them as stubble, leaving behind but a graveyard of rubble. But love's golden chalice abideth for aye. Our Lord's name and fame can never decay. Empires may wane and their glories all fade. Nations demise with the laws they have made. The clashings of steel and strivings of war pass from the earth to return nevermore. His love still abides and shines as the light, dispelling all darkness, peril, and light, or night. Great kingdoms may rise to enslave the earth. Famines may stalk with their pitiless dearth. The heavens may pass with a thunderous crash, and lightnings destroy with their blinding flash. But the love of the Lord, immortally true, will ever remain, and its pledge renew. His love cannot fail, whatever betide. the fullness of God will always reside. Greater than mountains, oceans, and tides, more brilliant than stars and planets besides. The center of loveliness, beauty, and grace, the glory of Godhead shines from his face. Praise God. I thought that was pretty neat. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, a word. I'm just going to sit here and drink my tea until somebody says something. Okay, Stan, go ahead, brother.
This is Claudia. Okay, I just wanted to say we had a blessing this week. We had fresh green beans from our garden, and this is December.
How's that possible?
Well, we're doing an experiment, and this was a kind of a greenhouse. It was a greenhouse, but it didn't taste like a greenhouse tomato, you know, those things that taste so awful.
Yeah.
This was a, have you ever heard of Micah Adams from the Health Ranger?
Mm-mm.
He's down in Texas. Well, he's got a system where you... Stan could explain it better than I can.
It's hydroponics, basically.
Oh, okay.
So you can grow the stuff inside or in a greenhouse or...
Using fluorescent lamps?
Yeah, that's what we did this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those. So how did it turn out?
It really great.
Yeah, they were good.
It was good. So we're growing lettuce and green beans and...
What are you growing them in? You growing them in a number two wash tub or what?
No, it's use these plastic totes. I think these are like 15-gallon totes. And you cut holes in the lid and put what's called net pots into the holes so the bottom of the pot is in water.
Yeah.
And the pot is filled with coconut core. And okay. That's what the plants grow in. And then the roots go down into water for, that's, you know, it's fertilized water too.
Yeah.
So.
He's got a website. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
What's the name of the guy?
Mike Adams.
He's not a Christian. I'll just say that up front.
Oh, heaven forbid. You're not doing that, are you? Oh,
and,
God, I'll tell you what.
And the website... Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. The website is foodrising.org.
And he has videos explaining everything how to do this. And so it's pretty interesting. So this is an experiment, and we had our green beans, and it really was nice.
So did that bushel of green beans, did it cost – as much as going to the store and getting some?
Probably.
You lost your audio. Dadgummit.
Okay. Yeah, I said the fertilizer isn't that expensive. You know, maybe with the electricity counted in, it might be.
But it's good.
But it's good. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they were fresh. I mean, we picked them and then ate them right away.
Really? How many things did you have? How many vines did you have?
Let's see.
Did you have a whole row of them or something?
It's probably about 24 plants.
Oh, okay. That's pretty significant there.
Yeah.
And we've got lettuce coming on we haven't tried yet, and I don't know what else we're planting.
Well, cucumbers and... zucchini.
We don't have those yet, but we planted them. And then, I mean, for up north, that's pretty good to have green beans in December. And you can't even get zucchini and cucumbers up north in the winter. It comes from Mexico, and we don't like to have food from out of the country. So
yeah,
it's nice. So that was a real blessing.
Amen. That sounds good. Sometime you're going to have to take a picture of it and let me see it.
Bring yeah.
It
on,
show it to us because that's interesting.
Yeah.
We got into aquaponics. David and I did with a tilapia here a couple, two, 3 years ago. And that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. We had pretty good operation going.
So do you still have it?
No. The guy that took it over, he took off. That's okay. It happens, you know. But it was good. We got some fish out of it. We got some fish, and we learned a lot, so we know what to do with them. And that's the main thing. If we have to, we know how to do it. What we thought we was going to do with tilapia when we get that Hawaiian weather here is just throw them in a pond, let them eat the duck salad, you know. Because it doesn't take very long for them to get up to size to eat. Uh-huh. Yeah. You can harvest them within a year.
Wow. How big do they get in a year?
About a 2-pounder. You can get them up to a 2-pound, a little bit more.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, nice pan size. Mm-hmm. Real nice pan size. Whereas catfish, it takes you 2 years to get them up to that size. Mm. I used to grow catfish. I used to have catfish pond back when I was farming. And it takes 2 years to get them up to harvest size. Okay.
Well, another thing, I guess I was going to say that I saw a hawk, and I usually go outside and take the dogs out and we yell and then it runs, you know, flies away. But it was cold and I didn't feel like going outside. So I prayed against it and it left. So I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. You got chickens out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And ducks.
And ducks. Okay. What kind of ducks? Muscovy?
Peking.
Oh, Peking?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they good to eat?
Yeah.
We just had our first duck about a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those Peking ducks, do they get pretty big?
Yeah, I didn't actually weigh them, but I think they're one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Yeah.
Another thing was I noticed our dog had hair that was coming out by handfuls. It was just, I didn't understand that. So I asked the Lord for wisdom and he gave me wisdom. And so he reminded me that the dog needs to have her hair brushed more often and have her hair trimmed too because she's got an undercoat. So once I realized that, I started doing it, and now her hair's growing back.
Oh, awesome.
So I thank the Lord for that wisdom.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a poodle. And we always had like a part poodle dog, but this has more poodle, and so she has more of an undercoat. She requires more care than our other dogs. We've never had to spend this much time with her, but she's so sweet. She was a rescue dog.
Okay.
And the first 6 months of her life, she had a lot of problems because the people didn't take care of her. And so she's got issues, but we really like her.
She got a spirit of rejection. Is that what it is?
Probably. Well, poodles like to be around their masters a lot. So Stan can go outside for a minute just to get the mail. And when he comes back, she gets all excited, like she hasn't seen him for a year, and that's just the way she is.
Awesome.
But that's the way poodles are, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I never had one, so I don't know.
They're really nice.
You know, talking about poodles, they mix a poodle with some other kind of dog. That my granddaughter's got one. She paid, gosh, an astronomical amount of money for a mixed dog.
That's crazy.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I know.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a golden retriever poodle mix.
Yeah.
They call them
Labradoodle?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. Some stupid name that they put a high price tag on them, you know.
This was free, so we were happy for that.
Free's all the way to go, you know. You can just go down there and pick you out one. They'll probably be smarter than whatever, you know, you pay for money for.
Well, poodles are supposed to have a really high IQ. They are really smart dogs, and she is very, very smart.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else? What's the matter, Judy? Oh, I'm thinking. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Oh, we'd like to pray. Did y'all get that email I sent out? Everybody get that? You didn't get it? Did you check your email? I sent one out with the latest things about this comet and a couple of things that are fixing to happen. That's been a few days ago. Hey, Tim. Anna's waving at you.
Hello, can anyone hear me?
Yeah, who is that?
Hi, no, I'm sorry, I haven't been here in a long time. My name is Angeline.
Oh, hi, Janine.
Hi, no, I'm sorry, Angeline.
Angeline, oh, okay,
yes.
Angelina.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. I think I spoke to you over the email about, what happened recently where I had a baby.
Yes. Yeah, so how'd it go? You okay?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And she's alive. She was born at 27 weeks. She's doing okay. I'm struggling in my face.
Okay.
And it's hard to see her, like, strapped up in tubes and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we prayed the prayer of faith for her, didn't we?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do tonight, we're just going to thank the Lord that he has got her in his hands. And this is just going to be a temporary thing because, Angelina, this might be a test of your faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Father, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you saved that baby. We thank you, Lord, that that baby don't have to have those tubes. Father, that you're going to, that, and right now we speak life into that baby. We speak healing into that baby. And we thank you, Father, that you've already healed that baby in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that mighty soon she's coming out of there and she's going to be a happy, fat baby. In Jesus' name, and we praise you, Lord, that she's going to have everything in place in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for that blessing. It's a mighty blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for placing great and bold faith in Angelina to believe that that's what's happening right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting peace and rest in her heart. To believe that you're going to back up your word because your word says when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And I know that's true because I've seen it happen time and time and time again, Lord. And I thank you for that baby is healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe it, Angelina. Amen. Everybody in this room here believes it too. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord. He's the one doing it. He's the one.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. She's going to be fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, hon?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to testify? Testifying time. Well, I wanted to, since nobody's talking now, I'm going to read a testimony that I ran across here just a little bit ago. I've seen it before, but I thought it's real applicable for today. And it's from John Melendi. Some of you have heard of him. Some of you may not have, but he is a African pastor from a real small rural village in Uganda. And he has a ministry called the World Trumpet Mission. And he says it began with a special encounter that he had with God. He said, in this experience, I received God's calling to blow the trumpet to his people in preparation for his return. This calling was no doubt much bigger than my own life could handle alone. And this led me to the realization that I needed to create a ministry vessel where people are similarly called to the same cause, but having various gifts and abilities could come together in pursuit of this noble task. And he goes on, explains a little bit about it, but here's the supernatural visitation that he had in 1988. He said in 1988 in a small village in Uganda called Nakasika, I don't know. I had a supernatural visitation from the Lord, which totally changed my life. I can still recall the experience as if it just happened yesterday. He said, I lay on my face before him, before God, my body trembling terribly as he spoke to me, revealing every detail of my life. And his voice went through my entire being like blazing fire and as blinding light at the time. The experience had a great resemblance to what I believe will happen when we stand before the judgment seat. On that day, everything will be fully exposed. And that's what happened to me. My innermost secrets were exposed before me, including hidden carnal thoughts and meditations. Even my small and innocent weaknesses, things that always felt small and tolerable to me, suddenly took on a new appearance as I saw how filthy they were to God and how he loathed their sight. I was shocked by how much compromised and misguided security I was living in. How many of us have got the same thing right now in our hearts, you know? We think we can get by with this little old sin, or we get by with that little old sin. That's not what God said. I just saw your chat there. My eyes were open to reexamine my beliefs about God and my relationship with him. Suddenly, I realized that much of what I believed in my faith was picked up from what I had heard often preached and confessed by others, or just assumed generally, and not necessarily what the Bible taught. A lot of it was designed to make me feel comfortable and apathetic, even when my life was glaringly out of line with the Word of God. My subconscious presumptions were brought to the surface, and all my pretensions shone for what they truly were, filthy and inexcusable. He exposed to me hidden fantasies I entertained secretly in my life, and he revealed their impact on my life. It was clear that they created a foothold for the enemy to influence and oppose my walk with Christ and to keep me away from what God intended for me. The Lord shook up what I thought was my foundation of salvation and challenged me whether I really lived my life unto him or unto men. He revealed to me that my entire walk of salvation was like one major performance put on for men's benefit, that I thrived on men's affirmation and approval, subconsciously caring more for myself and what people thought of me or affirmed in me than for what God said and thought of my life. He said that I found it easier to go along with what people and the system said that I should be, rather than what the Word of God said. He interpreted this as the worship of man and self-image. He said it was nothing but sheer idolatry. He made it clear that as long as this remained my lifestyle, I would have the same shortcomings as King Saul had all his life in 1 Samuel 13 and 18. Saul loved God and wanted to do what God instructed him to. But in spite of that, his conduct depended so much on what people thought or what impression he thought he was making on people. And it led him to make compromises that look trivial to most of us today, but which nevertheless made him blow up every opportunity God gave him until he totally missed his destiny. The Lord said to me that very many of his servants and people are going down that very same drain every passing day. The Lord even shook up what I thought was my theology on salvation's eternal security. This is not to say that we do not have a sure security in our salvation in Christ. But believe me, a lot of what we teach about this is a lie and a false security. We need to get back to the foundation of the scriptures and scrutinize what the Bible actually teaches. He said, the Lord showed me that as long as my life was not lived entirely for him, I would be open to the influences of carnal attractions and pressures of all sorts. I may attempt to hide their hold on my life, but it will always reflect in some way in my life, one way or another, as I go along. The Lord challenged me to choose whether I will live according to I will continue to live a life that empty and risk the same fate as King Saul, or radically change my life in repentance, in consecration to God, and dedicating myself entirely to him, that he may work out his purposes through my life as he wills. This was the most dramatic moment of my life, and it has never faded in its intensity in my spirit. It brought a tremendous turnaround of my life. I chose to turn away from the things I had always lived for and dedicated my whole life to the walk of seeking his will and living for his purposes in me. I repented of my presumptions and begged him to teach me his ways and to open my eyes to the deceptions of my day. And this has been my quest ever since, and I am still a pilgrim on this journey. And from that day, everything became totally new. I was like a child who had never really known anything about God. The Bible became a new book full of exciting, life-changing gems. I could not have enough of it. Prayer is another thing that took on a new meaning in my life. It ceased to be the duty I had always felt it was, and now became a much-awaited time of fellowship and communion with him. Prayer became like sweet communion and intimacy with him, in which the scriptures I had read earlier would be expounded and take on such deep meaning that always left me speechless. Nothing was sweeter than meeting with one so awesome and so fearsome yet so loving. I began to know him and his heart such as I had never known him before. Every day became a day of discovering more about him, about his love and his wonderful plans for humanity. And I would not want anyone to think it was all a smooth and simple sailing along. I had my struggles with the truth, and my flesh constantly stood in the way. Some days were dry and very difficult, but this is all part of the walk. I became a most willing student in the school of the Holy Spirit. And it's so humbling to think how much we usually think we know him when we scarcely know anything at all. Sorry about that. Since then, the learning process has never stopped. It keeps getting more and more challenging and life transforming. I'm still growing and learning things daily. and I for sure have a great deal more to learn. Nevertheless, I realized that the surrender made on that day opened the door to a great calling that the Lord had for my life. And it's my prayer that this testimony will lead those who hear it also to allow Him to lead them to repentance and total surrender to Him in a way that will open the door to the purposes He has for them. And I also know that there are those who have already made this surrender, and the going may be very hard by the time they read this little testimony. It's my prayer that even those will be encouraged to go on and not turn back from following God unreservedly. We are all created for His purposes. His plans for our lives are not for failure, but for hope and success to bring us to the desired end in Jeremiah 29:11. That's an amazing, amazing visitation of God. And it gets us right to the heart of the matter. How much do you love God? How much are you willing to give up of your life and my life? Am I willing to give up for the Lord God Almighty, for the truth of the gospel? Forget these preachers out here that are spilling out this false gospel that they've given us, and go to the Word and start learning from God Himself. The Holy Spirit will teach you out of the Word of God what He wants you to know. We have to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ 30, 60, or 100-fold in order to get to heaven. It doesn't say you get to do it 29.5%, okay? It ain't 29.5 ain't going to get you there. Actually, 30 is just going to get your foot in the door. That's all it's going to be. That's just settling for the least amount. Why not strive to make 100-fold of your life and be walking like Jesus when He comes back, and not be like John was, having those little sins that we think that God can tolerate or will tolerate in our life. Listen, He don't tolerate anything. He said there ain't going to be no sin in heaven. There ain't going to be none up there, folks. And this little thing that you hear the false preacher saying, you're going to get cleansed on the way up, is a lie straight from the pits of hell. It's the Christ in you that's going to get you to heaven. That's what's going to get you to heaven. It ain't going to be just cause I look good in front of the people out there. It's going to be what God knows about you and me that's going to get us up there. I'm going to go on here. He's got a little more here, if y'all don't mind. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share before we go on here? Y'all have to forgive me. This nose is running a little bit. I'm glad I got a mute button on this thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Michael, what was the guy's name that you heard from?
John Mulindy, Mulinde.
Mulinde.
Yeah.
I get blessed whenever you bring those kind of things out.
Okay. He said it was approximately a week after that initial visitation that I had another awesome encounter with Him. And again, He spoke in an audible prophetic way. This time the Lord spoke as one who sought understanding from a friend. Ooh. He did not mention any of my failures and sins, nor even rebuke me for the state of my heart, but instead He sorrowfully talked at length about the sad state in which His church was worldwide. He sobbed and wept over His people's spiritual state. His voice was so full of anguish and pain that my own heart was wrung with pain and guilt. I mention guilt because everything He spoke about His redeemed was just as true for me as it was for the others. Yet He spoke to me as if I was not one of them. Hearing His voice so full of pain and grief just tore me apart, and I cried my own heart out. The air was charged with electrifying power, even more intense than what I had experienced on the first visitation. The Lord lamented the way many of his people worldwide had generally fallen away from the foundation of his word. He said many had turned away from the fountain of living waters and made for themselves pools that could not hold water. He spoke of how the ox knows its master and a donkey its master's crib, but his people did not know him, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 1. He decried the endless excuses and compromises, the pretensions and hypocrisies, the pride and greed, as well as the deceptions and slumber that blind his people and hinder his purposes in all nations. He called it the great falling away of the last days. He spoke of how this had produced a deep hardening of his people's hearts to the extent that there was a false feeling of peace and safety, even though many were really dying in their sins, having despised the free gift of a saved lifestyle. He also lamented how these things had opened spiritual doors into the lives of his people, how Satan, the enemy of our souls, had easy access into the lives of God's people, that everything they possessed and was continuously killing, stealing, and destroying, like it says in John 10:10. He said that the enemy was diverting people from the real things that matter in life and focusing their attention on the temporal, material things that perish. The enemy was using these open doors to gain access into people's lives and to torment and oppress them with all sorts of infirmities, pain, anxieties, and fears. Or he was driving them crazy with greed, pride, evil passions, perversions, and obsessions that made them crave for what was unnatural. He's making them break all acceptable values of life in order to feed these carnal cravings in their lives. In some, he works depression, hatred, bitterness, criticism of others, murder, and a host of other destructive emotions that drain people of love and joy. The suffering in the world, even among the redeemed of the Lord, is so great that it has made a mockery of the Lord's power to save, heal, and deliver in our day. In many parts of the world, this has resulted in people rejecting the gospel outright. In other cases, the enemy has turned it into free liberalism, which allows people to gratify all their human desires in total disregard of God or his word. And the end result is a world increasingly resembling Sodom and Gomorrah, just as Christ predicted the last days would look like. This has left the church filled with people struggling to find the meaning of their lives in a world where there is no longer any absolute truth. Everything has become relative to what each person thinks and wants to believe. It has robbed the church of its joy and freedom in Christ, its power and vitality in the Spirit, and its passion to win the lost into God's kingdom. Instead, it has left many people in the church in a state of paralysis, slumber, apathy, complacency, and total blindness to the spiritual conflicts raging in our day. The enemy of our souls is destroying lives by the millions every day, even inside the church, as if the gift of salvation is not freely available for all. And then he talks about preachers. The Lord said that many servants of the gospel have become hypocrites, healing the wound of his people only on the surface, preaching peace, peace, when there is no peace. They make people comfortable in their sins, well knowing that the wages of sin are death. God says, many who stand in his name are not really his servants, or else they would be warning and calling his people back to him with great tears and anguish. He calls them ministers of death and deception. That's what God calls them, who are deceived to choose cheap popular favor for a short time while ignoring the internal implications of their actions. What makes it worse is that God's people seem to have forgotten that we are indeed living in the end times. The day of the Lord is just right around the corner. It is a day of reckoning and accountability for everything done in our lives. According to how each lived his or her life, so exactly shall he or she be rewarded. This is in spite of all the modern teachings of superficial grace that are so popular today. We call it the greasy grace of these false prophets. The love of our Savior. This is a subtitle of the next little bit. He said, this is a continuation of the narration of the visitation. The heart of Jesus is bleeding with grief and sorrow as he watches the day drawing closer and closer while his people continue under this deception and oppression. His reaction, however, is not of fury and anger against his people, but of great compassion and a burning desire to reach out and set them free. While the enemy would have people remain in slumber and continue in this fallen state until the day of accountability, our Lord is crying out to all Christians to flee sin, the flesh, and the bondages of this world, to be able to stand on that day as the true redeemed that they are. It says in Luke 21, 34 through 36. It is so clearly stated what the end will be like for people embracing sinful lifestyles, lusting after the flesh and the world. God desires to break this bondage of darkness and oppression from his people. His desire is to heal them and totally deliver them from the activities of the evil one. He wants to equip them afresh to overcome the world according to the power he wrought for us on the cross. In short, it is the desire of the Lord to revive his people worldwide with the power of the Holy Spirit. To believe God for worldwide revival is not presumptuous. It's his will to bless his people everywhere with revival. As many as will truly humble themselves and seek to return to his ways, they will indeed experience the refiner's fire of the Holy Spirit in our day. The fury and burning anger of the Lord is not directed against his people, but against Satan, the enemy of our souls, and his horde of demonic spirits who are working day and night to destroy lives. The devil knows that the time is so short to the end. He strives tirelessly to blind people to the victory they have in Christ and to harden their hearts so that they won't repent, even when they know their sin. His intention is that they will be found in their sins when the day of the Lord comes, so that he may forever rob them of their inheritance. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And if it were not for the love of Christ, all would be deceived in this dark era. Even all the elect would not survive. However, our Lord's love burns jealously for his people. He wants to open our eyes to see the works of the devil for what they really are, and to be able to resist them and be overcomers. He wants to make all people see the great victory he has worked for us at Calvary, and for us to rise up into it. He wants us all to see that there is absolutely no reason at all to continue under the yokes and burdens his people have come to accept as part of their lives today. He calls us all back to himself to be grounded in the overcoming truth of his finished work. And he wants to equip us for the great harvest of the end times, which must take place in our day. The Great Commission must be finished before the dreadful day of the Lord comes. That day when the Lord visited me and spoke about all these things, I cried even more than on my first encounter with him when his rebuke was directly for me. This time the Lord spoke to me as if I was not part of the scenario he was describing. Yet I saw myself described in everything he mentioned about all the other Christians. I saw myself as often deceived, oppressed in various ways, hampered by my own shortcomings, and often struggling with hard-heartedness like everyone else he described. The backslidden state of the church worldwide is so strong that many believers do not even feel any convictions in their hearts about the way things are. I cried as if my heart was coming out of me. My heart was so alarmed by the revelation I was seeing about the church. Nevertheless, I cried not only for what I saw about the Christians worldwide, but also about myself. I was so deeply part of the whole picture revealed that I had no struggle at all to identify with all other Christians in a spirit of intercession. I was convinced beyond doubt that unless the Lord would send revival, so many of us were not ready to meet him. In desperation, I begged him to spare us from our own doings and revive us before that day comes. Then he said to me, "It is for this reason that I have appeared to you, so I may send you as a resounding trumpet to my people. It's not because of any merit you have over others, but because of my tender mercies for all of my people. I have appeared to you that I might send you out to call my people to repent and consecrate themselves to me before that day comes upon them unexpectedly. They do not have to be caught unawares by that day. If they will humble themselves and call unto me, I will revive them and preserve them. Open their eyes to see that they have victory over the enemy and his works. Challenge them to arise and break the grip of darkness and deception over their lives and family. They should take this victory into their communities and win the lost souls all around them into my Father's kingdom before the great day of the Lord comes. Know, therefore, today that I send you as a prophetic voice in the nations to call my people back to me in repentance and total consecration. I also send you as an apostle to lay a foundation everywhere you go upon which this work of spiritual restoration can be built. This will create room for my other servants to each play their part within their callings, gifts, and anointings so that everyone fulfills their destiny in God before I return. You will meet many others I have called with a similar unction. You will know them when you find them. Honor them and serve them. You will also find many more that will be happy to serve you and work alongside you. This is all my doing, and you should be open to it in humility. Beware, however, of the plans of the enemy. There will be those whose motives and missions is either self-serving or outrightly serving the enemy. Some of these will even be going under the guise of my name. Watch out and beware of them. My spirit will constantly reveal them to you. Never allow them to distract you or hold you back. Remember, the work is very big and the time is very short. Every passing day is a day lost, never to come back again. Do your work as a faithful servant and serve your generation while you have the chance. A time is coming when no one will be able to work at all. Blessed are they who hear my voice and hasten to obey. Whew, glory to God. There's just a little bit left here. I'm going to go ahead and finish it, and then we'll open it up and see if anybody's got anything they'd like to add to it or question. After receiving this visitation and call on my life in April of 1988, I spent more than 1 year praying through what it would mean to answer it. The few other members who were with me at the time of the visitation stuck with me throughout this period. We took one step at a time and knew that the Lord was gently teaching us what he had called us to go out and do. We learned many precious lessons in the most dramatic ways. The Lord would let us walk according to our best judgment, thereby making many mistakes, which he would then come and correct in the most powerful and memorable ways. The experiences were so mind-blowing, so deep in reality, and so emotionally involving that somehow they were imprinted on our hearts in such a deep way that they became a part of us. We could walk according to them without a second thought. Praise his holy name. We soon discovered that we had to work on developing our understanding of various areas of the calling, and that it was to the degree we received revelation from God on them that we would be able to fulfill all that he required of us. And we realized that even at that time, the revelation that we had was partial understanding, and we had to stay open and seeking for the growth of revelation in our hearts. And as years have gone by, we continue to get a bigger and bigger understanding of the calling and what it requires of us. Pretty telling, isn't it? It's pretty telling of the way the church is in today, and that most people have their lives in too. You know, the thing that struck me most of all was that we think that we can get by with these little so-called sins that we have in our life, the darkness in our life, the faults that go through our mind that we don't cast down, that we think that we can get by with. When the Lord's telling us he knows all our thoughts, he already knows them. When you go before the Lord, you're going to be just like everybody else. If you still have sin in your life, the power of God is going to be so overwhelming, you're going to wish you weren't there. I've heard that testimony. Who was that? Oh, that was Paul Washer. When he was hungering for God 20 years ago. He was hungering for God. He was hungering for God, and he was calling out to God. He was throwing rocks up in the sky trying to get God's attention, you know. And when God finally came to him, he said, I drew up in a fetal position. He said, if God, you stand over me 1 second more, I'm just going to die because of the sin in his life. But he said God just touched him and wrecked it all away. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give it to him and allow him to work in our life. We have to keep our eyes focused on him and not on the things around us. The world's got to go, and it's going to go. It's not only going to go. We're going to be out in the wilderness just like Moses and that bunch of Israelis were. You're not going to be able to get in your car and go down to Walmart and get what you need. You're going to have to ask God. You're going to have to believe God for it. What this whole testimony of John Melendez, that Jesus was telling John Melendez, to get rid of the sin and the world and the flesh out of your life. What you think is not going to get you into heaven is what God tells you in his word is going to get you into heaven. what that preacher up in that pulpit tells you is not going to get you into heaven. He ain't going to be standing up there with Jesus telling, all right, let old Michael go here, but let's keep, we can keep Matt and Anna with, let them on in, but send Michael on down, you know. No, it ain't going to be that way. You're going to be standing up there in all your naked glory, and God's going to be just hollering at you. He's going to be telling you one of two things. He's going to be telling you one of two things. Come on in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you. And I know none of you want none of that. So we have to get that sin out of our life. Allow God to get it out of our lives. You can't get it out. It's got to be God that has to do it. Amen. Anybody got any questions or anything they'd like to comment on? For those of you who just came in, it was John Melendez's testimony that I just read. And you can just type it in and Google and it'll come up. John Melendez. That was back in 1988. And the Lord came to him in a mighty way. He was an African pastor in a small rural village in Uganda. And the Lord had sent him all over the world to preach this message of repentance. John the Baptist ministry all over again. One of them. He just one of many. One of many. Any questions? Comments? Nothing? Come on now.
Well, I appreciate that, the testimony that you were talking about, John Melendez. And it's very relevant. You're talking about as far as knowing what you have to do to achieve salvation in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's a hard walk. Jesus said it's the narrow walk, the straight way, straight gate. Well, a lot of us have problems with that. We tend to look at everybody else and have a knowledge of sin in their lives, which ultimately makes us wrong, because now we're looking at the person of what they're doing comparatively to the sin that they're in. They're still in deception, just like I was, just like you are, like I'm sure I still am in some areas. You know, I'm not going to discount that at all. Jesus said that no man is good. So the minute you start thinking you don't have sin in your life, guess what? You're deceived, if at all possible, even the elect. So, you know, at that point, I'd like to read you guys a poem. You're talking about poems. I just couldn't help it, right? And so I had to dig up a poem as you were talking about it. So you guys mind if I share that with you? Awesome. And I don't know exactly where this is. I think I heard it before a while back ago. It says, a minister was passing through his church in the middle of the day, decided to pause by the altar to see who'd come and pray. And just then the back door opened and a man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man. He hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was torn and shabby. His coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt and bowed his head and then rose and walked away. In the days that followed, at precisely noon, the preacher saw this chap each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. When the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery being his fear, so he decided to stop and ask the man, "What are you doing here?" The old man said he was a factory worker, and lunch was his half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. I stay only a moment because the factory's far away. As I knelt here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I came here to tell you, Lord, how happy that I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I think about you all the time, but don't know how much to pray. So, Lord Jesus, here I am, just checking in today. Now, the minister, feeling foolish, told Ben that it was fine. He told the man he was welcome to pray there anytime. It's time to go, Ben said as he hurried to the door. Then the minister knelt at the altar, which he'd never done before. As the tears flowed down his cheeks, he repeated old Ben's prayer. I came to tell you, Lord, how happy that I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I think about you all the time, but don't know how much to pray. So, Lord Jesus, here I am, just checking in today. Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Ben hadn't come. As more days passed and still no Ben, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him and learned that he was ill. The hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. That week that Ben was with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles and his joy contagious. Changed people's was his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Ben could be so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards had come, not a visitor that he had. The minister stayed by his bed and voiced the nurse's concern. No friends had come to show that they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Ben spoke up with a winsome smile. The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know he's been here all the while. And every day at noon, he comes. A dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down and takes my hand and leans over and says this to me. I just came by to tell you how happy that I've been. Since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. I think about you always and I love to hear you pray. And so, Ben, this is Jesus just checking in today. Now, when I heard that, it made me realize the relationships and how close you have to be. You just need to form a relationship with him before you can really know him. You can't be a joint heir unless you make him your Lord. Right. So before you can be a friend to him, really a heed to his commandments. He says in John, it's John 17, I pray for them, talking to the Lord, not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now that word thine means yours, right? In the old English, it means yours. So Jesus is saying, I pray for them which you have given me because they're yours. Get that? He gave them to Jesus, right? Because they're his. Well, he gave Jesus to us, right? Well, this is further corroborated. If you go to John 14, we're told if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. All right. And this is John 14, 16 through 20. I think I'm going to read real quick. It says, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even in the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it has seen him not. They don't know the Lord, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet for a little while. And as the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. And the day that you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. All one. We're all together. One. But the key there is to love him, to keep his commandments. Now, here's what the devil does so we don't do that. Now, Matthew 16:23, he's talking to Peter. He rebukes Peter pretty sternly. We all heard this before. He says, but he turned to him and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. Thou savorest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. When we concern ourselves with the world, we can't be a friend of the Lord's. Friendship with the world is at enmity with God. So just like in John 14, we see that we don't know the Lord if we know the world. You can't have both of them. You have to pick one. And if you love him, you'll keep his commandments, right? So just as old Ben loved the Lord and went out of his way to just kneel for a minute, just to be obedient and say, here I am, just checking in. See, in Ben's mind, he thought he had to go there and do that, right? And for some people still, you know, brother Mike and I were talking today, Michael, we were talking today about where you are at Christ. Right. Some people are certain places. Other people are other places. And it's the relationship that we all share individually with him. Get that? We all share it individually with him. So where I'm at somewhere, Tracy's at a different place. Right. But we still go to the same Lord. So, you know, it's the relationship that you have to establish. You don't have to get into a closet to be in your prayer closet. Right. If you think I'm being attacked, there's something wrong, I got to go home before I pray. No. You can pray right there. Now, when you want to really seek him, sure. If you have to get into a closet, get into a closet. But you don't have to go to the altar and kneel down to check in. So just as he was happy and he was peaceful, knowing that his time in this world was ending, that Jesus was there for him, he'll be there for you. So all you really need to do is just rest in Christ and know that he is God. Be still. He loves you. And every time that you talk to him, he talks right back. Trust me, he's not quiet. Right. He'll talk right back. Just learn to trust him, you know, and that's generally how we err again. We as people, we say, God, show me something and I'll trust you. And God says, trust me and I'll show you something. Spirit wars against the flesh, flesh against the spirit. But you know what? I argued with the Lord for a long time. about a random different things. And well, we both realized that, you know, he was right. So it never changes ever. It's always going to be his way, because you can't lead a holy life. He's not going to follow you, you know? So God bless you guys. If we don't see you throughout the rest of the year with family and whatnot, and just want to thank you for allowing us to come into your fellowship and be a part of your family. It's been a pleasure and an honor to meet you guys, and hopefully more so in the future.
Well, amen. It's been a blessing. Thank you all for being here with us.
I do have a testimony.
Oh, she got a testimony.
Go ahead.
Oh, praise God. Can you hear me okay? Okay, we're using that middle microphone thing. So I just want to say that the Lord is always on time. It's amazing. And, you know, I prayed a prayer a long time ago, and I said, it was simple. I said, Lord, give me better friends than I can pick for myself. And it's worked, praise God, you know, because I'm pretty bad at picking friends, you know, the wrong ones. But he's done that in my life. And, you know, people come from everywhere, from, you know, they just find us, whether it's on Facebook or whatnot. It's really neat because we either pray for them or send them to different ministries. And, you know, just this week, for example, there's a woman that can't find a church. She happens to be in the same small town as a woman and her husband that has a home church. Praise God. It was that simple, you know. So, you know, the Lord's always on time. It's amazing. It really is. A few of our groups are down because of, you know, Christmas coming up. Everybody wants to be with their family. People are out of town. People are, like, my whole plant shuts down for almost 2 weeks. Praise God, you know. So we started sending people to other groups. And, you know, like I said, another woman came for prayer, and a woman heard her on the prayer line, and they prayed separately, and now they're friends. It's just amazing. It's nothing we're doing. You know, it's just God and his timing. And it's just awesome. He never is late. He's always on time. So praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
Here for Jim.
But, you know, we can just play some music or something. Anybody, how do you guys feel about Kenny G?
Who? Go ahead.
If you've ever been in an elevator, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. No, actually, I would like to. I do have a prayer request. And the Lord has placed it on our heart to attend a local church that the pastor is needs to overcome some things in order to really take the mantle that's been handed to him. And so, if you guys would agree with us in prayer, we'd like to pray for him right now. That's all right. Praise God. Well, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We come together to you in one mind and one supplication, tightly fitted together as the body of Christ on behalf of Pastor Jim. And Lord, we just lift him up, and we ask that you remove the scales from his eyes, that you allow him the strength, the opportunity to pick up the mantle that's been laid down. And it's rightfully fallen to him, and there's been some opposition prior to that, and you've changed it. So we just thank you for that, and we thank you that this church will be restored to what it once was, and that it will be used to proclaim the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We also bind the driving spirits. Lord, I bind that spirit of Jezebel and Ahab, and we bind the spirit that's driving his sister to try to pick up that mantle. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would loose her from that burden, Father, in Jesus' name. Let her take your yoke. Lord, you said that your yoke is light and easy, Father. We just loose that for her, that she would see that and pick it up, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a tough one, too, by the way. You know, when the Lord calls you for something and you don't do it, you know, and, you know, he can hear him call. You know you're supposed to do it, right? But then you run for a little while and your life just doesn't turn out right. Yep. You don't have favor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're going to get overdraft charges for no reason. Yeah, I can tell you why, right? Now, get this, right? When Blockbuster Video was still around, right? Turns out, now, my middle initial is P. My last name is Jackson. Pretty common. I live in St. Louis, right? So good luck finding me. And so pretty much we had I end up one week, right? Now this is before I was really walking with the Lord, but this is just an example of it. One week I had overdraft charges at my bank, a couple of them, and late charges at Blockbuster for no reason, right? So you can't even relax. You know, you got this problem. You try to go. Turns out there's another gentleman that lives like a street over from me. His middle initial is D. D-P sounds very similar. Jeremy D. Jackson. Mine's P. Jack. You talk to somebody on the phone, they make a typo because they hear it wrong. Next thing you know, my credit's screwed up, right? And see, the Lord's not, he's not paying attention for you there. He's not, you don't have that hedge of protection around you. So the devil's allowed to just nitpick at you all the time. Just go nick, and before, man, stress adds up, you know? So before you know it, you're walking around, everything's, you know, just kind of going on that downward spiral. And all the while, he's whispering in your ear, try harder. Can't try harder. That's the whole point. You're screwing up by trying. There's nothing you can do. Give up instead. Surrender. Right? When you surrender, then he takes control. And I believe it's Kelly Clarkson says Jesus takes the wheel. So there you go. Let him drive.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. But it turns you around, don't it? Turns us around. That's what he wants to do. You know, this testimony by John Melendi, I'd recommend everybody getting it and going over it again by yourself. Because what it did to me, it made me look at the way that I see things, that God sees things. I was looking at it in a humanly way, rather than the way God sees it. You know, we think that these things that go through our mind are okay. You know, we get to think things, critical thoughts or whatever. You know, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. But they're not okay. And these little, I know some of us have come out of, or most of us have come out of the traditional churches. And at the time when we were in those churches, you know, we thought that that was the right way to go. When in fact, it was absolutely not the right way to go. So I'm just saying, check yourself. Repentance is what God's telling us here. Idols, get rid of the idols in your life. If there's anything that hinders you from reading and studying the Word of God and communing with God, get rid of it. It's not worth it. Your eternal life depends upon it. We're fixing to come into this wilderness time where your faith is going to decide whether or not you're in the kingdom or not. And your faith is also going to decide whether you're physically alive or not. So, what I'm saying is we all, myself included, we all have been warned by God by the words he's given us to get rid of these idols that we have, these little things in our life that have hindered us and hindered our walk with him. And he'll reward us for that. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Don't touch that dial, Julie.
I'm trying to turn my mic off so I could talk.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. God bless you.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, I can relate to that. I was a while ago, we were talking about taking thoughts captive and such, and I told the Lord, like, Lord, you know, help me with my thoughts and give me better discernment of those thoughts when they come in, when they're not what they should be. And I said, Lord, let me bite my tongue or my cheek or something, you know, if I'm not catching it and casting it down. Be careful what you ask for. So he was doing that for me. It wasn't real bad, but there were times I'd be, you know, somebody would say or do something that would just be an annoyance to me, or I start having a critical or judgmental thought about that. And next thing I know, it's like, I bit my tongue for no reason. I'm like, what? And I was like, okay, what were my thoughts? And I'd have to repent and confess that that was, that I'm dead to that, and that the Lord bore that sin for me, and just be more conscientious. And he is really helping me with that. And the other thing is, the, I don't know if it was you or David said the other night about being careful about the watching anything on the news with the slander and the stuff that they're saying about, you know, Trump or whatever, and how you can get those spirits can be transferred in some degree as far as like frustration or anger. Well, that happened to me this week and I didn't know where it was coming from. And very subtly how that happened was we have the TV on at work and they have it on CNN, and the volume is usually on low where it's on mute and you can't hear it, but you can read the captions and stuff and you can kind of figure out what's going on. And I was on the phone with somebody who was trying to help me at work with some software issues I was having. And I was really getting impatient with him. He was doing something that had nothing to do with what we were discussing. And I was really getting impatient and getting short in my heart, thinking my thoughts. I'm like, wow, where is this coming from? And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what this is, but I was like, I'm here and I'm getting it, but I don't know where it's coming from. And I was just casting it down. So when they said that, it was you or David the other day on the webcast was saying that, it's like, wow, that's where it came from. And it's just been because of what's being said on TV. And if I was watching it or looking at the captions on, you know, the news online and stuff, just reading the headlines and stuff, and that I was starting to get a little bit upset with what people are saying about the election and stuff. And now it's like, wow, that was very subtle how that was coming in.
Well, that's that spirit of faction, like David was, that was David talking about that. And I've noticed too, Julie, you know, I can get caught up in that stuff. We all got caught up in the news and checking it out, you know, and just sit there and, what, that's just crazy, them people doing, you know, you get into that and next thing you know, you've got an irritation in you. And that's unforgettable. What we have to understand is these people are not saved and we're not to judge them. We have to pray for them. Remember what David said about, I guess he talked about, did he tell about the dreams that we got about Obama being saved? Yeah, I think he did.
I don't know if he read them all, but yeah, he mentioned you guys are getting.
Yeah, there's a couple of dreams that we've had that God's going to save Obama. He's going to humble him and save him. And a matter of fact, one of them was him was in a boat, huh? Reading Sovereign God. So you never know, you know. Somebody might get translated right in front of him, you know. Whoa, you know. Golly, what are you doing here? How'd you get in here? You know. Awesome. God can do anything. It's, if he can save Paul, the Apostle Paul, he can save Obama, can't he? That'd be awesome. Do what?
Saved us.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But yeah, don't get caught up in that news stuff. It'll get you off the beaten path. It'll get you off the trails, what it'll do. What y'all drinking, Lightning? Oh, boy. Thank you, Julie.
I was going to say I agree with that. Tonight, it's the first night I shut the news off. Not that I watched it on TV, but I would get on the internet when I get home, and I would start going through all the websites, looking through what was going on. And I realized I was starting to get not real. My spirit was getting not real restful the last couple of days. And not that I'm stirred up about anything in particular, but I could see my flesh starting to come out some more, and I'm thinking, what is this coming on? You know, it's like I had been delivered from a lot of things, and all of a sudden, now it feels like I'm going back through this again. And I thought, okay, and I listened, Tuesday, you guys talked about the news a little bit, Michael did, and then David reemphasized it Wednesday, and I thought, you know, I really got to cut this off. So tonight I didn't get on the internet and look at anything in the news, but I could feel my spirit withdraw from that. You know, I knew that there was a real big draw on myself on this thing. And, you know, you're actually taking in the world's thoughts when you're going through all that stuff, even though what they might be saying is factual or you're intrigued by everything too at the same time. And it's not like you're trying to judge as much as you're just trying to stay informed, but it's not necessarily the information you need to be going through your head. You know, you can spend a couple hours during that, and but at the same time, think about trying to do that in prayer. It doesn't happen. So, I can see where I had to make some changes here, and that's it's trying to balance now where you want to stay somewhat informed about what's going on, but not to the point that it's affecting your walk with the Lord. That's I can see where that's a big struggle. We're all gonna, at least for me, I have to go through that now. It's my next thing is not having that being part of my life so I can just get back in and walk with the Lord better.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many sites out there that you can get to. You can start in, and 2 or 3 hours later, you know, you done figured out, what am I doing? Good gracious. You know, because here's the thing. God's doing this. God's the one doing it. And he's already told us how it's going to come out. And so if we already know how it's coming out, why do we go to the crazy news? Well, because we want to sit around and criticize and judge these people, don't we? That's just our nature. That's the flesh nature. But God wants us to get in the spirit. And it's time. It's time to do that.
I think it's also that shock and awe. You're just like, you can't, you just keep on getting overwhelmed, you know, something like, oh, something else. And it's just like, you become a junkie, an adrenaline to the news that's coming out. And you got to stay plugged in, and you can't believe that happened. You're just, oh, I can't believe we're doing this now. And you're being thrown around by all this. And you think, well, it gives me something to pray this down or pray that down. But at the same time, it's you're being pushed around. You're yourself being pushed by what's going on around here, especially in the world.
Amen. Well, you know, we prayed here a few months back that God would expose all this evil corruptness. And what's he doing? He's exposing it. It's more than we can handle sometimes to believe that we've got these corrupt officials up there. But, you know, God's going to fix it. He's going to get all this stuff straightened out for us. One way or another, you know, I know that we've got natural disasters coming real soon that's going to judge the church, and people are going to come back to God because of it. But I think he's putting Trump up there, as David probably has already said on his, is that in order that we would have a relatively peaceful government over us during his first 3.5 years. So praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. By the way, just a little note. Trump has his own private security force around him. He's not utilizing any of the government's security people. Wonder why. Let's see. John F. Kennedy, Reagan, just comes to mind right quick. But anyway, God's doing it, and we don't have to worry about all that stuff. Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead, Jackie.
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out how to unmute myself. would you pray for me? No, you're muted.
Yeah, I know. That's a good thing, too. Okay, what's the matter, hon?
Well, I feel a little apprehensive with this Christmas holiday. My family's coming into town, and I'm feeling anxious. There's, you know, my family.
Yep.
You know, the troubles going on. There's so much faction and hate and drinking and gossip. And I'm trying to be weak to the weak, and I'm trying to be led of the Lord.
Are they coming to your place?
They're not staying here, which is good. They're staying in a hotel, you know, and I have mixed feelings about that. years ago they stopped staying here because of the drinking. Me and my husband kind of put a stop to that. So,
okay, let's pray.
Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it, but we're going out to dinner on Saturday night to a restaurant, and I'm sure there will be drinking and, you know, everything that happened in Florida when I was down there. So I just feel anxious.
Okay. All right. The Lord tells us not to be anxious for nothing, doesn't he? And if he tells us that, then he means it. There's a reason why he says that. It's because we're of him. You don't have to. You bind those spirits before you go, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you for taking this fear and this anxiety out of Jack. Jackie, right now, in Jesus' name, fear, anxiety, go right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for putting the peace, the joy, and the rest in her heart because she is a child of yours, Lord. You've taken all of that stuff to the cross, and she doesn't have to put up with it. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you she's going to be a light for these people so that they'll see that she is of you, Lord. And you're going to put a smile on her face, Lord, and a peace in her heart the whole time she's with them. But, Lord, put in her to do spiritual warfare before she goes with them, to come against those spirits of alcoholism, come against the spirits of rebelliousness, and to cast them out and bind them up so that they won't be a bother. And we thank you, Lord, that she's going to do that. She's going to do this spiritual warfare before they ever get here so that you'll have that hedge of protection around her and her family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I just feel like you're going to have a wonderful time, Jackie.
Amen. That's what I just want to love my family. You know, it's my natural family. The Lord put me here and the Lord gave them to me. And I want to love them and I want them to love me. And there's a block. And I know it's because I'm of Christ and they're not yet. So thank you. Amen.
All right. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Don't forget to bind those spirits up before they get there, okay?
Amen. I will. I will.
Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Thank you, brother.
You bet.
Thank you, everybody. God bless you.
Yep. Anybody else? Somebody was asking on the chat there. Let's see. Where is it? There it is. How do I get on your email list, UBM Outreach, from the iPhone, whoever that is? Well, what you do is go on the website, UBM website, and submit a letter. I mean, not a letter, but how do they do that? Y'all know. How do you do that?
I think there's a link there you can it's got an email that you can copy in your email address and then send it out to that person, which I think is probably Donna, and she'll put you
Robin.
On.
I think it's Robin. She gets all that. Doesn't
Robin,
she?
Excuse me, Robin. Yeah, and she'll put you on that email list.
Yeah,
right on the website. I could probably bring it up and look at it real quick.
Yeah, UBM. Let's see, is it the outreach? No, it's UBM1.org. UBM1.org. I'll get you on there. And go to the one that says how to get on the email list. I don't know. Anyway, what you do is you fill out that form, put your email address and whatever information else they want, your name, and they'll put you on there. And it's just as simple as that. Somebody type the address of the email of the website on there on the chat. All right, anybody else? Well, we're getting close to the end of the year here. another year gone. 2016 is about gone. We're coming into 2017. Man, I would have thought I'd have been in heaven by now. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we came up here 5 years ago, and but it's been a good time. It's been a real good experience to be here with God's people. You know, that's awesome when you get around people that that believe like you do. It's just awesome. Thank you, Judy and David. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about?
I was going to mention to Jackie to pray in his spirit too. You know, use your tongues.
That, sure.
I did that for a couple of years back. I forget to do that. We all forget to do that. But before I went to some in-laws and visited for hours, and I knew it wasn't going to be always that pleasant. But the whole time I was praying in tongues all the way out there, and it was beautiful. I think I remember telling that story once. Everything was really nice, and it did really get rocky till towards the end, but still, their spirits were at bay, and that really helped out a lot.
Amen. Thank you. I guess we all go through that with our families. We all have families to believe in for.
Well, the word says, Jackie, that when you running after the Lord, that your own family is going to be your worst enemy. They're going to be your enemy because you're a fanatic, you're this or you're that. You just grin at them.
Apparently I fell off the deep end.
Yeah. Well, you're in a cult. You're in a cult. I've heard that.
I came down from my baptism and my family said that they wanted to make sure that I was okay, that I wasn't going to school late or something.
Yeah. That's the truth. That's the truth, yeah.
You just tell them you don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a trial that we have to go through, but just know that God's in it. He's testing you, Jackie, so he tests all of us in the same way.
And I want to love my family like Christ loves them. I want to love them through the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how I want to love them and receive from them, just love back, until the Lord draws them closer. So that's my prayer. So, yeah. But I get a little worked up sometimes before they come.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. I can understand it.
Yeah. It makes life easy if you could just stay by yourself all the time with the Lord. And you wouldn't grow up much at all because you wouldn't have all these trials coming at you.
Yep, that's true. What did you say, Julie?
Oh, I was just going to say, Jackie, I recently went back and because it's the Christmas holidays and stuff, and I was listening to one of the Bible studies in Miscellaneous. I think it's called Being Weak to the Weak in Christmas or something like that. And there's just a lot of conversation in there that helped remind me, they're not where we are. And even though they celebrate the holidays and all that stuff, and we can just meet them where they are.
That's the thing about it.
There's a lot of good stuff in that teaching. They covered other things too.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. We can't put people under the law because of what we believe. They're not at the same level as we are. So we just, like Julie was talking about, we have to be weak to the weak. Jeremy and I was talking about that earlier. We all got family that loves Christmas, and they don't understand why we don't like Christmas. It's not that we don't like Christmas. We just don't celebrate it, But we're, like Julie said, we're weak to the weak. And if somebody wants to celebrate Christmas, we're not going to say anything. That's just the way we are. That's what God wants us to be.
And so we have to be the same way. My family and the people I work with, and when they wish me happy, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and all that stuff, I say it right back to them. God knows my heart. He knows your heart.
Yeah.
Another thing helps me too is spiritual warfare is the worship music or praying this or reading the Psalms out loud to yourself and along with what David says, building yourself in the Holy Spirit. You'll get so full of the Lord that nothing's gonna penetrate the armor.
Amen.
Amen.
That is a good teaching that David has about Christmas. I'll have to re-listen to that. I read it not too far back.
I was gonna say too, read Romans 14 because that really covers a lot of this. I recently was, about a week ago, I commented on a girl I seen. She came out from the Jehovah Witnesses, and she was talking about her struggles with that. And she mentioned towards the end that, you know, she's trying to get back in close with her family and all the difficulties there that were going on. And she said, well, maybe even we might even be able to, you know, maybe I can meet him up over Christmas time. And I felt really good for her for that, but I know there's difficulties when it comes to Jehovah Witnesses too, because they're very adamant against Christmas. You know, they won't, they think it's of the Satan, and they think anybody that celebrates this is deceived, and they're going to hell, and they'll damn you for it. They go on the deep end of that. And so I made a comment about, well, yeah, it's nice to be able to, you know, celebrate, or not necessarily, just get together with your family, and nobody wants to have any loose ends. And I said, so if it's over a national holiday, I said, well, you know, whatever. You know, just the time is being together. That's the important part, is with family. And I said, don't worry about it being a holiday. And of course, it didn't take long. And I just put that out there to kind of put her at ease a little bit. Within a day or two, I had a comment that says, well, hope you enjoy Armageddon. Happy holidays. And I thought, oh, I didn't say anything because I didn't pay attention to it initially. And then he came back and gave me that Jeremiah passage, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. It was talking about the Yeshua, the Christmas tree ornaments and all that, and putting it up in the house and, you know, all that junk. So I just responded back. I says, hey, we're saved by our faith and not by our works. And I quoted Romans 14 again, which if we go by that model, you know, we can still be around others. And no matter where they're at in their walk, and if they choose us, if they choose to recognize a certain day to glorify the Lord, that's okay for them to do that. We can't judge them for that. And we choose not to, that's okay for us. We have to be okay with each other on those grounds. But we don't necessarily have to go out and explain that to them and make them respect our beliefs. Because, like Michael is saying, we all know that we're a little beyond that now. But the whole point is for us is not to be offended, and use Romans 14 as the background. And if others are offended at us, then maybe if they come after us and attack us, maybe we can enlighten them to the scriptures, because they're under legalism at that point too, which the Jehovah Witnesses are concerning Christmas. I mean, they're very legalistic, and we all know that it's got the pagan roots, but. At the same time, if somebody's in their heart thinking they're magnifying the Lord and they think they're praising the Lord and they're worshiping, we can't turn around and shut that light off, you know, and try to quench that light, you know, while we handle that. And that's all.
Amen. That's right. As far as those Jehovah's Witnesses go, best thing to do with them is just pray for them. Pray that God would give some light to them. Yep.
You know, say, oh yeah, we're playing with a lot of religious spirits when it comes around these holidays.
Yeah. Be honest with you, back when I first became a Christian, the only thing I put my foot down was Halloween. I said, we ain't doing that. I don't care what you say, we ain't doing that. I said, we ain't putting them booger bears out there in the front yard. We ain't going to do that no more, you know. Praise God. And of course, kids they didn't like it. I said, I tell you what. I said, I'll buy you the candy. You just stay at home. Don't worry about all that other stuff, you know. So that's what we did. They were good with that. They knew it wasn't right. But Christmas, I had a little bit tougher time with that. But, you know, just like we've been talking about, we have to be weak to them, you know, and just let it go. My whole family, some of you, maybe all of you, I have good memories of Christmas time when I was a kid. I grew up in a big family. We always had a great family atmosphere the whole time I was growing up. I didn't, you know, daddy wasn't a, he wasn't somebody that beat me all the time or anything like that. It was just a typical family growing up, you know, and we were a happy family. And Christmas was a good time for us. We always had a great time during Christmas time. So, you know, it was kind of hard, but then I saw the need for myself, for Michael, and I tried not to push it off on anybody else. I would teach them. I would teach my wife, and of course they've got it down. We used to have a big tree, you know, in our home, great big tree, and just put all kinds of good little trinkets on it, you know, and make it look all pretty and put lights on it and stuff. And I've got her down. I've got my wife down to one you can sit on the table. Those are the easy ones. You can just take it and put it back in the corner again, you know, put it out there on the table. You don't have to decorate it or anything. But anyway, that's where they are. So that's no big deal.
Yeah, I was teasing my wife about getting one of those lumen ones where the light shines, you know. You weren't putting that up.
Yeah. Anyway, that's right. We have to be week to the week. Praise God. Okay. Has anybody got anything? Testimonies. I'd like to hear a good testimony. Somebody's got a good testimony. Come on now. Hi, Holly.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing, girl?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I joined kind of late, but yeah, doing all right.
All right, praise God.
I wish I would have heard more of the conversation because I've really been struggling with the Christmas thing. So I wish I would have heard more of what you guys had talked about earlier. Yeah.
We can revisit it.
Yeah.
Mostly what we're talking about is, you know, we have family members. I have family members that still celebrate Christmas. I don't. It's okay. You know, it's no big deal. I don't make it a law.
Yeah.
Lord doesn't want us to put people under the law. Just there's a teaching on the site, Holly. What is it, Julie?
It's under the miscellaneous teachings, and you know there's two columns on that teaching. It's on the right side, and I want to say it's called being weak to the weak and Christmas and Trinity or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And David shares it's in his home Bible study. He shares a lot of stuff. There's a lot of conversation in there about that.
Okay.
About
all of that. I'll look into that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking too, and when people get into all of that, it is a spirit. It is a holiday spirit. It is a Christmas spirit,
and
a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yeah. I mean, this issue actually came up in the home that I'm living in right now, which is actually back with my parents. I haven't been here for 12 years, so this is the first Christmas that I've spent with them. And I've gone through a lot of... Yeah, my story is very long and convoluted, but I just brought it up last Sunday that, you know, that there were pagan origins to the holiday and, you know, just wanted to, like, bring it up. And it got very confusing very, very quickly to the point where, you know, there's a young 12-year-old when, you know, I mentioned something like, you know, we don't actually know when Jesus was born. And, you know, and she's like, yes, we do. Jesus was born on December 25. And so then I really took a step back because, I mean, she's 12. She's been taught this. Her parents believe it. You know, it's like I'm not trying to create, you know, divisiveness in my family at all. But when you start to, you know, Christmas is a family tradition as well as a, you know, Christian holiday before people start to, yeah, so I've been struggling about whether it's wise for me to even talk about it at all.
If you can avoid it right now until after Christmas, be better. Holidays not the forefront. People are trying to, because their spirits are all over the place about this.
Yeah.
But, afterwards would be a good time. But if they choose to talk to you directly and have questions, then you can answer their questions.
That'd okay. So I should maybe just take, like
read Romans 14.
Off the offensive yeah. approach and just
read Romans 14.
Okay.
A couple of times. Listen to those audios. They're really good.
Okay. All right.
But just try to enjoy, we get to enjoy the time we're with the people. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you can tell them something like this, Holly. Well, I know y'all going to hell, but we're going to have a good time anyway, okay? There ain't no big deal. No, I'm just kidding you, okay?
Kidding. What you just said, I couldn't hear. The audio just cut out. Can you repeat that?
No.
He was making a bad.
Oh my! No, it's best just to have a good time with them right now, and then sometime down the road they might bring it up, because they've already know how you feel.
Yeah,
they already know how you feel about it, so they're gonna bring it up. Well, how come you don't believe about Christmas? And then you can step up in there and say, "Well, here's what the Word says. That's why I don't do it."
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Yeah. The other thing that happened, I've never met any of you people, but I just feel comfortable, so I'm just going to share this. So, my story in a nutshell is that I grew up in a religious community. I knew God at an early age. I spent 12 years in East Africa. I went head-to-head with witchcraft. I experienced a lot of trouble. I was raped with a machete at my neck. I then went into the New Age. I went into Freemasonry, blah, 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 blah. God delivered me about a year ago. So I'm like a 1-year-old. So that's who I am. So, but I spent a lot of time in the dark side, and I spent a lot of time exploring and working in those realms. So I know a lot about the dark side. And that's one of the reasons Christmas is so hard for me, is because I know about all of the Asherah ceremonies that are happening right now. Like while Christians think they're celebrating the birth of Christ, like the dark side is working. This is a pagan holiday. And I know that because I used to celebrate it in that regard. So that's sort of, okay. So right now, I am back in my parents' home, which I haven't been here for 12 years, but there's a lot of religious spirits over this home now, and I can see them. Like, God has, opened up. I can see them, and he's taught me how to pray and those sort of things. But so yesterday, I just saw these, like religious spirits just, binding the home. It looks like an octopus, and it was like all of these tentacles going down into the home. And so I just started praying against it, and I drew a bloodline around the house, and I anointed the house with oil and all of that. But the religious spirit is deep in my father. But I just prayed, and I wasn't afraid, and I saw these things coiling and all of that, and then my dad came home, and he walked in the house, and he was like, "I can't be here." And I was like, "What's wrong, Dad? What's going on?" He was like, I can't be here. I'm leaving immediately." And he got his keys, and he went to a hotel, and my mom followed him. It's the first time that's ever happened. So it's like I was binding the spirits around the house, and when he came in, he couldn't handle because he's used to operating under a religious spirit. He's the elder of a cultish church in this community. So when I started binding that spirit, he came into the home and he froze and he had to leave. And then he came home tonight and I said, "Hey Dad, do you want to talk about what happened last night?" No, no, no.
Okay. I'll tell you what I would do is start praying for your dad and your mom. That somebody that they would listen to would come up and speak the truth to them that they'd listen to.
Because it's not going to be me, because he doesn't trust me as his daughter. And he's a complete cessationist. He doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. He's,
That's what I'd do. Well, Well, it's good to have you tonight. Maybe we can hear more next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is awesome. Hi, yeah. Willie. What's happening, brother?
Yeah, I just figured out how to do everything.
Okay. All right. Well, awesome. It's glad to have you. Praise God. Yeah, well, listen, we're about out of time here. We generally shut down about 10 o'clock Eastern time. But I'd like to find out if anybody needs prayer before we go, and we'll pray for you. We generally start at 8 o'clock and get off at 10. Not to say that we can't go over if somebody wants to pray and wants to talk a little bit. That's no big deal. Anybody got any prayer?
Michael, may I just say something to Holly?
Sure.
If you want to go on the website, you can listen to this broadcast. It'll be on recording under today's date, so you can go back and listen to what we were talking about.
Can someone put the – is there a link that someone could put in the chat? Or how do I find how do I find it is my question.
Let's see.
Holly, if you go to the website and on the left-hand column where it says outreach,
okay.
Recording, it says outreach. If you click there, they take you to a window where they're all listed by date.
Okay. All right.
That's good. You. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
All right.
Yeah.
So the next day's broadcast is posted at some time tonight, between tonight and tomorrow morning.
So I go to outreach. Okay, I'm on the website right now. So okay, that's helpful.
Outreach Telephone Conference Ministry.
Okay, thank you.
And then it'll bring up all the past conference calls. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. Where are you located?
Michigan, currently.
Well, bless your heart. It's cold up there, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's cold. Yeah, I'll be back in Uganda after Christmas, though, so.
Be back in where?
Uganda.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just reading earlier tonight, I was reading John Melendez's testimony from Uganda. You know who he is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful night and this time together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've got that golden thread going through our hearts and putting us all into one accord with one another, Lord, with you. Because you're the focus, you're the head, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in our hearts to get rid of these idols, Lord. We don't need them. All we want you. You're our idol. That's all the idols we need is you, Lord, because you're the one that takes care of us. You've got us in the palms of your hand, and you've got your angels sitting around about us taking care of us, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the revelations you've given us out of your word, Lord, that open up our mind. And gets you and takes you out of the box, Lord, to believe that you can do anything. It makes no difference what it is. You can do anything, Lord. You're a good God. You're a great God. You're the God that created this whole universe, and you can do anything you want to do that your people needs, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Your provisions, your protection. In the days ahead, and I thank you, Lord, that you're placing it in our hearts to be ministers of the gospel and to get that word out, Father, and that the truth will only the truth will come forth out of our mouths in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to get a good night's sleep tonight too, and you're going to give us dreams and visions of the things that are coming ahead, and I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody tonight with a good night's sleep, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you.